The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
Yes, Triple M Footy Fan Podcast is finally back. We've had a couple of weeks off. It's fair to say Footy Mania has run wild on Triple M, the Triple M Fan Footy guys, unfortunately, but we're back. My name's Rudy Etzel. I'm your host. I'm joined by Will Ralston today. Hello, Will.
G'day there, Rudy. G'day, team.
We've got George Porter over there. How are you, George?
We're covering all states today, so good to be back finally, everybody.
Yeah, George, you're in lockdown in South Australia, I believe. The question I'd like answered is, how do they fit you and Charlie Dixon in the one state?
Lockdown's the wrong word, boys. I don't think social distancing's really a thing over here, but I won't go into it because I feel a little bit guilty.
Okay, fair enough. And we've had to call in the cavalry up in Sydney because the guys in Melbourne are not allowed in the office. So we've asked the host of Giants Swantown and the man from the Rush Hour with MG, Liam Flanagan, to come and help us out. And he's been good enough to donate his time. He's a big footy man, Flanners. How are you?
I'm very well. Let me say from the off, this is beneath me, right? This is... Rudy, you called me up and you said, can you be a panel op for the Fan Footy Podcast? And I was too nice a bloke to say no, but I want it on record, on podcast, this is beneath me.
I'd characterise what I did as begging, and you were good enough to help me out, which I really appreciate. Flanners, can you just give us a little bit of a pricey about yourself? You're from South Australia, like George.
Yes, like George. That's why we're both so good looking. South Australian, born and bred. I am a Port supporter. I've been living up in Sydney since on and off since 2007. However, so have a very soft spot for the GWS Giants and the Sydney Swans. A little bit leaning towards the Giants more so these days, but part of the Sydney call team up here, get to work with the gurus that are Jude Bolton, Brad Seymour and Troy Luff when we get to call the footy, which we haven't been able to do for a little while. And then I have to learn about rugby league on a little show called The Rush Hour with MG as well.
That's good stuff. So now we're all across... We're all across Flanners. We're going to kick off with we're all picking a legend of Footy Mania over the last couple of weeks. I'll start. Who's been your legend of Footy Mania?
Well, Footy Mania. How long's Footy Mania gone for? About 3 weeks.
About 3 years, I think.
about that long. Excuse if you hear a kettle. It's working in isolation and in lockdown is a bit difficult. So that's probably what you're hearing in the background.
Authentic.
Yeah. No one's in the same room. My legend of Footy Mania, I decided, was going to be Daniel Andrews. He's had a tough 2020, yet he is dominating the Herald Sun tipping. I'm not sure if you're across how well he's tipping. He cannot miss at the moment, and I think he needed a win, and he can't go wrong. So follow the great man if you need to get your tips in.
I reckon that's why he looks so stressed and drawn at the conferences every day. He's just up all night going, oh, Geelong, and it's a big game. What's it, Metricon? I just don't know who to tip.
Will, do you have it in front of you? How many tips has he got this year so far?
Bear with me.
I know that in the Austereo tipping competition, the leader has 71. So maybe if we can have a little
I saw today Dan's got 72.
So Dan would be leading our company as well. Do you think he's forgotten to put his tips in? And because all the Vic teams are playing away and they're all winning, or most of them are anyway, he's there by default. There's no way he's spending more time on this.
They're the numbers he should be reporting every day. He gets up there and says, we've got 250 new cases, but I took 7 out of 8 over round 11.
Yeah. First of all, tips this week. I'm up on 72 overnight. Yeah, he's ahead of...
which is 9 more than yesterday.
he's beating David King, who's in second place on 70. So, yeah, I think he deserved a win. So, well done, Dan Andrews.
Good one.
Good one, Dan. Ports, who's your legend of Footy Mania?
Hard to go past a bloke who's only played one game out of Footy Mania, considering there's 36. It's Lyndon Dunn, not because of the mullet, which is one of the better ones we've seen, looking like Daryl Strawberry, I think is his name out of the from The Simpsons, that episode as well. But also because he kicked his goal, but he looks every bit like a bloke who's come off two knees, doesn't he? Yeah. I was one of the lucky ones to be at the game on Tuesday, I think it was. Yeah. And you see,
let's just visit that quickly. What's it like What's it like going to a game of isolation footy? I haven't been to a game of footy since round one.
Yep.
That March.
It was strange. I actually don't know what the figure was for the crowd. Collingwood had a pretty good representation there, but they always seem to have a good representation anywhere. Everybody was kind of dispersed evenly, as you'd imagine. There was still a pretty good volume. I think, obviously, it's not as good as what it was, but the feeling of being able to go to the footy and see your team, you don't get that kind of feeling on the telly as much. So I was very lucky to be there.
Amenities? Like, what was the toilet, the food situation? Could you have beers?
I was lucky enough to be behind the glass. I had a little bit of a dining package.
Oh, yeah, he's Adelaide royalty. He's a snob. I shouldn't have brought it up.
Yeah, you shouldn't have. Flannis, who's your legend?
Line up to the bathroom. Yeah, we'll leave.
Give us a spell, Ports. Give us a spell. Flannis, who's your legend of footy man?
Yeah. As a Port supporter, it's pretty easy to go with the big chuck wagon at the moment. Charlie Dixon. I'm giving him it out of 50% for his performance, 50% out of fear, because I know he would listen to the podcast, and I imagine if I didn't say his name, he'd find me.
Yeah. He's got presence, doesn't he?
Mm, yes. Presence, everyone's stinking. He's got those cheap DIY tattoos as well. You got to give a little bit of credit to Chad Corns, whatever that off-season work they were doing together when they posted that absurdly familiar shirts-off photo between the two of them. Tip of your hat to Chad. He's keeping in good nick, and he's keeping Charlie in good nick too.
He is. I quite enjoyed that bit in the Richmond game where I think Liam Baker just bounced off him. Charlie just stood his ground, and Liam Baker just hit his chest and hit the deck. It was intense. And he looks.
Have his hands always been the size of dinner plates? Like when he holds a Sharon in his mitts, it just like one hand, like it's a like he's the great Kali or something in 10 years ago wrestling.
Well, but they have always been that big, but that might be a reason why he has been somewhat inconsistent. They reckon Shaquille O'Neal was such a rubbish free throw shooter because his hands were too big for the ball. That was a legitimate reason he was given. It's like you, if you picked up a little stress ball, it's much harder to throw one of those than it is a basketball. Maybe that's what Charlie Dixon's going through with the Sharon when he misses those easy shots.
As a Brisbane fan, Will, I'm surprised that you went with the great Carly one hand grab as opposed to Jared Brennan, who used to do
the great Brennan. Daryl White was the original and the best.
My favorite little detail about the big Chuck Wagon is he's got a YouTube channel where he like fixes up old cars, like old Monaros and stuff, and Chuck Wagonest thing possible.
Here's a bit of inside Adelaide knowledge for you. I've heard a whisper that he's got or he has had, because you know there's that Amazon doco going around with they're filming certain people at certain clubs. Apparently Charlie's doing his own. Apparently Charlie reported, I've heard whispers that he's just got a film crew following him around, filming his own.
He's on binge, is he? Is he gone rogue?
Going to fill their content somehow.
That's great. I genuinely can't wait to watch that. That'd be very exciting to me. Fellas, I just wanted to chat a little bit in general about Footy Mania because we were very excited for it. And if you can cast your mind all the way back to when it started, remember the first few games were really tough to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But it's come quite good since then. There's been some absolute rippers in the footy mania little world. Obviously, we talked about Richmond Port, and I want to touch on that a bit more later. But you also had a couple of really good – St Kilda have been involved in a couple of really good games. The Gold Coast Essendon game from last night was – that tie was just ridiculous to watch. I wanted to speak specifically about Ben King. How does a man of that size, 202 centimetres, how does he move – like Peter Dacos, like that last goal that he kicked last night. It's physically not fair.
It was extraordinary. Yeah, and I haven't seen enough of his St Kilda equivalent, but from the look of it, they're every bit the picks they were taking for. I think they're going to be superstars.
Can you imagine when they both get Charlie Dixon size and they've had a few summers in the gym and they walk out one day in round one in 2-3 years' time and you go, holy shit, do not want to line up against you boys.
Yeah. Well, Dermot Brereton reckons he's never seen a player more naturally gifted at marking the ball at its highest point than Max King, and that's a pretty bloody high point that he's reaching.
I thought you were going to say that's a pretty bloody hard thing for Dermot to say, like not complimenting himself.
I think at the age of 55 or whatever Derm is, I think he's finally ready to pass the baton on.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's just accepting it now.
But there was an interesting point made on it was one of the Triple M rubs where there's a chasm in age between the generation of forwards where we're talking Josh Kennedy, Buddy, and then this new generation. I feel like there hasn't been a really good dominant tall forward in almost 8 years or so that's really grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. And I think the King boys could be the ones to do it.
Yeah, well, it's been the same blokes for the last 10 years, hasn't it, really? It's been Buddy, it's been Jack Riewoldt, it's been Tommy Hawkins to a lesser extent.
Similar group, yeah.
Yeah, similar group the
See,
whole
here's
time.
What's so, upsets yeah, just... me about you, Melbourne lads. Right, I'm going to jump on a high horse here. The poor old Sydney Forgotten Town, there's a bloke called Jeremy Cameron. Don't know if you've heard of him.
But he's the exception.
Won a Coleman last year. 27 years of age. Like, there's your middle ground. There's your bloke between these King boys and that previous generation.
That's a fair point. Oh,
that's a fair point, but he's the only one.
It's just that guys like what's happened is guys like Josh Sackey and Tom Boyd,
yeah,
and Paddy McCartan. Just
Paddy McCartan, yeah, exactly.
It's fair to say. So
with Footy Mania boys, do you think that obviously we've had to conduce it this year because of obvious reasons, but do you reckon there's a future for it? Maybe not this long, but perhaps a 2-week, 14-day Footy Mania, Big Bash style. Maybe it's a change the season up a little bit. We always know that when it gets to around July, August, things kind of fall in a small hole before finals. So maybe something to spice up the year, perhaps.
I reckon the broadcasters will be pushing for it, and the TV channels tend to get what they want. Mm.
If it's just one game a night, yeah, I think it would be. Sometimes the two games might be a bit much, but I think there's a future for it, for sure.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. And do you think the Triple M marketing department, do you think they'll start going with like Roman numerals for the future Footy Manias? Do you think they'll start to – Footy Mania IV will start to – I feel like that's the future.
I agree.
Roman numerals are the way that Triple M listeners really want to be working numbers.
So it'll be – what isn't oh, – so the show –
This
the
is
showdown.
Our audience, George. Don't back
them. I'm part of it. Get about five. I'm in trouble.
The showdown is numbers, and it's the derby that's always Roman numerals, isn't it?
Well, tonight, at the time of recording, tonight is Sydney Derby, Derby, whatever they're calling it, because it's in Perth, number 19. And we did an interview on our show with Luke Parker the other day, and I fucked it up because I said, we're getting ready for Sydney Derby, 14th. Going to have to start that again, boys. An X is a 10 in Roman numerals. Why wouldn't you just write it out? So I'm right with you that the Roman numerals can get stuffed. I know it looks
19,
good, but they can get
19
stuffed.
Is 19 is a lot now as well. I'm surprised I've got that many.
Yeah. Wait, did they get to 19? What's it been? 8 years?
I guess there's
a couple of finals.
At least two finals against one another, and they play every 2 games a year. So
question without notice, Flanners. What's the ledger at?
I reckon, I don't know exactly, so get stuffed, George, but I would imagine it's line ball, if not, it might even be 9 apiece, you know, heading into this one. In fact, while the conversation continues, I'll come back to you.
I'm going 11-8, Swans.
Yeah, I reckon it might just be the Giants. I reckon it might be the other way. What you said, Will, but the other way. The big winners of Footy Mania so far look like they've been Geelong and West Coast. It was always going to be West Coast when they went back to their home. People are starting to say that Geelong are, like Damien Barrett wrote an article today saying how Geelong are the best equipped team to hang on to to deal with the fixture crunch and stuff. And I'm starting to worry because I quite liked it when no one was really talking about us and was just floating under the radar there.
Yeah.
Whilst we wait for Flanners to sort that out, I wanted to bring
11,
up
11, just what you, 11 you 7, gents. 11 7 is the tally in favour of the Sydney Swans. So you're spot on, Wilbert.
Well, thank you very much, Flanners. That was, I'm glad you took your time to do that. We'll go back to West Coast quickly.
Steve, I took a special comment there.
But if we cast our mind back to round 5 or so, remember people putting a line through West Coast? They were really battling. They were Queensland-based. They were whinging. They'd lost to the Gold Coast quite heavily. I'm just going through. They'd lost to Brisbane, and then they'd lost to Port by all 30, 40 points plus. Oh, it's so easy to turn a season around if you're a good footy team. And they look, they're the pick of the bunch for me. I think, especially if they get some home finals, it's going to be hard to see anyone going over there and knocking them off.
I still have Port and Richmond ahead of them, to be honest. I liked Brisbane up until they got done by Richmond. If they look like they're still a year or so away, Will, sorry.
No, I'll take it.
I don't know. There's something about West Coast. I'm still not super duper convinced of them yet. And I don't know why. I can't even really rationally say why. There's
midfield
just something about them.
Midfield hasn't quite clicked yet. Midfield, I would argue there. Aside, Nick Nat's been amazing, but their on ballers haven't quite clicked to the extent we all thought they would once Tim Kelly turned up. So I understand what you're saying, Rudy. What I'm looking forward to is if the grand final involves, I really want Richmond to get there, and I really want them to have to either travel. Because I want them to have to travel to Optus Stadium to take on the Eagles, or to Adelaide Oval to take on Port Adelaide, or up to the Gabba to take on the Lions, and then hear the debate about how it's unfair about having to play a grand final at the opposition's home ground. I really want that.
Oh, wow.
That's a very
reverse
good point
Vic
because,
bias.
Because there's actually, it's a good point. There's one team from each state that's really up to their necks in it. So it's a good point.
Actually, I did want to chat about the hubs and stuff because I saw a couple of photos earlier of the Geelong players seeing their kids for the first time since they went into the hub in Perth because their families weren't allowed in. The WA government said no. So it just got me, like, how would I go in a hub personally without being able to see my friends and family for a month? And I actually think it would suit me. I think I'd come into my own. I think I'd be real in my element sort of stuff. Just being able to sit back and watch my stories on my computer, you know, it'd be beautiful. it suits me. What do you reckon? How about you, Will? How'd you go in the hub?
I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I'm not sure someone take it off me. I reckon Rudy is a hub-based operator.
Could you not argue in a way? Could you not argue in a way that you are currently in your own hub anyway, as it is? And I didn't think I'd like it, so I hightailed it out of there as soon as I could.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's a good point.
George, you're the problem, mate. You are the problem. At least Will and Rudy. Victoria, Melbourne, hotspot, stay put, stay indoors, isolate. You're like, bugger that, I'm taking off over the border. I don't care whether I've got it or not. And you've taken it into our beautiful South Australia.
Permit approved. I've had the two tests. I wouldn't recommend it. They are uncomfortable.
They are, aren't they? I've had a test as well, and you instinctively like pull away when the thing goes up your nose because it's so weird. It's such a weird sensation.
We're really detouring today, aren't we?
I didn't know how far up my nasal cavity could go. I asked her what my brain felt like, and she said it feels very mushy, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. So
I'm going to segue for us because imagine Basil Zemplis getting a test.
Speaking of Basil, how about his attempt at saying Antetokounmpo?
Oh, poor old Basil. Yeah. That is the dictionary definition of whoever's written up his copy there needs to go, this name I probably should spell phonetically because Basil, you got to admire him. They say when you make a mistake, own it. You drive into the skid. He drove into it so hard he then stuffed up Damian Lillard's name as well. 2 seconds later, Damian Lillard.
You can see the moment where he realizes he's done as well. And it's almost the first syllable, and then he just rolls straight through it the whole way through. I'll stick the audio in post, so everyone that's listening can get across what it sounds
like. Yeah, great. And can you say what his name actually is? So I know I can get as far as Giannis and then A. You're not that good with it, but I just knew he got it wrong.
It's Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's a Nigerian name, but it's actually like a Greek version of a Nigerian name. When they got given citizenship, they like Hellenicized, I suppose it is. They Greekified their surname, which is it's very difficult for an English speaker to say. But
let's ask Orazio Fantasia how it's pronounced. See if he wants to weigh in on the thing.
Yeah, indeed. I did want to straighten us up, but let's talk memes first, because the photo last night of Matty Rowell on the sideline with his club polo tucked into his jeans, and with the notebook as he's like taking notes on the players doing their training, went viral last night with some outstanding meme work, including some men of our own parish. I just wanted to know what your favourites were of all the memes that did the rounds last night, because it flew, the photo of him doing that.
I did see one. It wasn't necessarily the notebook, but it was just the general package of seeing Matt Rowell as on the bench. He's got the notebook. He's got the headset on. And it was like, oh, the man on the left, which was Stuart Dew, must be honoured to be this man's assistant, and memes of that nature. And it raises the question, do you think he would be a better coach right now than Matty Nix?
That's very
transport him straight in. Do you reckon they'd get a win?
Well, maybe if they put him in the midfield. Maybe if they stuck him in their midfield. I don't know about the coach's body.
Oh, I love Matty Rowell, seriously.
Is Matty Rowell just the kind of guy who lives, he obviously just lives and breathes footy in the same way that when Ricky Ponting started out in the Aussie cricket team, he'd walk into the change room and know all the results from club cricket around the country. You know, Matty Rowell just walks in, shirt tucked in, he will know everything about footy. He's played five games. He's can't believe it. He just looks like he owns the joint up there.
I also quite like that he's like his rep is increasing even without him playing games.
Yeah,
they've got him doing like oppo analysis work and stuff, and then Stewie Jew's on the hot breakfast today saying he's basically saying he's the greatest human being he's ever met, and the guy's 19. it's really crazy.
He's re-signed too.
Exactly. He's just like, you just know he's one of those guys just good at stuff.
I saw a tweet where it said that Matty Rowell's career, which I really liked and thought was spot on, Matty Rowell's post-footy career will go one of two ways. Either he'll be like Alistair Clarkson and coach a three-peat, or he'll be like Brett Kirk, the weird cat on the coverage, giving that awkward surnum for the dressing room.
You need a bunch of individuals.
We're going to exchange our hearts and even our energy.
It remains the weirdest thing ever put to air on footy coverage, for sure.
But before we move on from Matty Rowell and potentially being weird, you know he owns like 30 plus footies. He owns like 30 Sharons. That's a genuine fact. He's like nuts for footy.
Do you reckon he's got like? Is it like is it what, you know, when you meet someone and they collect something and they're really proud of, you know, like certain things about it, and you're just like those all look exactly the same to me. Do you reckon he's like, oh, that's the 2016 Sharon, and like it had this tiny little manufacturing error, but it makes it way better to kick.
You can see the stitching.
You reckon he's at that level?
Yeah,
Matty Rowell's. Matty Rowell's like, I mean this in the most lighthearted way. If a young kid was as obsessed with anything other than football, like, the parents would go, do you think we should go and speak to someone about him?
If this was fire trucks.
We're just a bit concerned about young Matt. He won't stop collecting fire trucks. He stands outside the fire station taking notes. I just want to make sure that we're aware of his behaviour.
Oh, that's very good.
We'll move on from that. But I did my favourite one was just the photo of him writing in the notebook and saying, since I'd achieved all of my goals as a footballer in five games, there was no need for a sixth.
Love it.
So good too. Just like he's penning it going, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like, he's just grinning away. He just loves being on a footy field, doesn't he?
Is he playing again this year if they play finals, or is he done?
They won't make finals. I wouldn't have thought. Even if they did, surely you just leave him. There's no point bringing him back, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah.
They'd have to get everything right for me to make finals. They knew that win last night, didn't they?
They did.
Imagine if he coached a premiership before he played in one.
He
won't do that with Adelaide.
He's knocked off Nathan Buckley to a.
Can you imagine if Stuart Jew's up on the dice? He's got his Doc McHale, and then he does a Luke Beveridge and goes, "Now this belongs to Matt Rowell." Matt Rowell do the whole Luke Beveridge, Rob Murphy moment, take it up and put it on him.
Yeah. I look forward to the Matt and Andy drive show the year after.
Just a couple more. I've got a couple more things I want to run through before we go. I just wanted to ask you boys. I'll start with you, Will. Who do you reckon is leading your team's best and fairest this year?
Being the Brisbane Lions, I think my man would be leading every best and fairest, and that's Lockie Neal.
Let's take you out of the equation. Who's second?
I think the Brisbane Lions have some weird vote system where it's like, I don't know if they changed it or not, but it used to be out of five, but you could get half votes. So the Brisbane Lions best and fairest can always look like a mathematical nightmare.
Will, as a Lions supporter, can I ask you, about 5 years ago, I reckon it was, there was a conspiracy theory that you blokes gave the BNF to five blokes because you didn't want any of them to leave. Dane Zorko, Steph Martin, Mitch Robb, there was about 17 of them who won the BNF that year.
From memory, it was four, and I think Beams...
That's right, yes.
Beams, Rockcliffe, Martin and Robinson were the four. And like I said, they all tied on like 325 and a half votes. So
just tampering at the highest.
Just an anomaly. And yeah, I reckon you're right. They also reckon they stole a BNF off Simon Black and gave it to Rockcliffe. Controversial. We've had a rough 10 years.
Remember when Adelaide went the other way and took an award off Jack Gunston when he said he's going to leave? He'd won like best young player or something. And he was like, I'm going to Hawthorn. Oh. And they were like, right, okay, well, we'll take this back then. And you're not invited to BNS.
Turns out you weren't a good young player. I reckon behind Neil, it's hard to go past Andrews, I guess. He keeps our team together more than people really give him credit for.
Mm. George, has Collingwood had a bloke play enough games to win a best and fairest this year?
Oh no,
we've lost him. If you muted yourself, oh no.
Just like Collingwood players, he's dropped out.
Oh, there he is, yeah.
Sorry. The only bloke who could be leading our BNF didn't play the other night, and I reckon it could be Darcy Moore. Or Braden Maynard, perhaps, down back, because everybody else pretty much hasn't played enough games. And Braden Maynard came fourth in Collingwood's last year, I think, which was a surprise to a few, but he's come a long way in the last 6 months as well.
I want him to win the BNF just for the speech. He's a great public speaker. What about at Port, Flanners? Who have you got?
Trav Boak wins, Daylight second, and Zach Butters comes in third.
Oh, I like it.
Mm. Fair enough. I like that. I've got, I reckon, Sam Menegola at the Cats. It's not as it's not as perceptive as a call as when I... as it was 2 weeks ago when I first saw it. Now he looks miles ahead. But him and Tom Hawkins are probably the top two, or two of the top three at least, I'd say. Maybe Cam Guthrie in there. That just about wraps us up. But just one more question before we go, guys. Adelaide, will they win a game this year?
Who have they got left to play, do we know?
I know they've got...
Every team is above them, Will.
That makes it really tough.
So that brought the Bulldogs this week, I think.
Yeah.
The two teams I remember thinking they could beat are and Hawthorn. They'll play Hawthorn in Adelaide because Hawthorn are hubbing in Barossa.
Yeah.
So
that's the one.
Yeah,
that's the one they got to circle, I reckon. That's their grand final.
So
The Jack Gunston Cup, if you will.
Their next two are the Bulldogs followed by Geelong. And that's, I think they've got the Bulldogs away.
It depends on which Bulldogs team turns up, I suppose.
The great irony now for them, Will, is that the Jack Gunston Cup, they have no good young players. They have nobody they can award that to.
Who is going to win that? Ben Keys?
Yeah.
But to be fair to Adelaide, they're actually improving, and especially over the last month. Their first, it was a disaster couple of months, but there are signs of life.
Someone who was there the other night, though, they were in it up until about half time, and then as soon as the opposition And we saw it with the Melbourne game as well. As soon as the opposition get their nose in front or slightly have the momentum, they drop a long way away. And then it becomes quite easy. So,
I
like the narrative of no and nil and 17. I like the narrative.
That is so generous, Will, to say they are improving. Like, their base. Like, I've got a 1 week old at the moment. And he's improving too, because he was literally just born.
Congratulations, by the way, Flanners. We haven't acknowledged you 1 week old. Well done, mate.
But you know, Max getting better every day because he was born less than a week ago. That's how I feel about the Crows right now. Like, it doesn't mean that.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's my point. The other thing is that, like, the second worst side in the comp is probably North. I know Sydney are our second bottom, and they lost to them by 69 points. Improving is quite a relative term. I think we've taken up enough of our listeners' time here, boys. We've been at the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. It's been a lot of fun today, actually. Thanks for coming on board, Flanners. Thanks for New South Wales bailing Victoria out, I should say. It's nice to see. Like I said, thanks for everything. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.